If you've ever gotten the chance to spend time in the North Woods, you know how special that place is. And back in the first part of the 20th century, North Woods resorts offered much more in the way of service and camaraderie than you might expect. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Marnie Mamminga, her family has been enjoying their North Woods cabin for five generations. And she shares her memories of her time there in her book. It's called Return to Wake Robin, One Cabin in the Heyday of North Woods Resorts. And Marnie is joining us from her home in the Chicago area. And Marnie, thank you for taking time to be with us today. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Larry. It's a joy to be on your show, especially since we often listen to you when we're going back and forth to the cabin.
Well, I tell you what, I really loved your book. I have a lot of experience in the North Woods myself, and in particular in the area that you, the Spider Lake area where your cabin is located. Mm-hmm. And your book brought back so many fun memories for me.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm hoping that it does touch a lot of people who've had similar experiences in the North Woods, or whether it was traveling to a special destination like a grandmother's farm, or to see friends, and that just the tradition and the travel and that familiarity of a trip shared and time together is, I'm hoping, touches other people as well.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to. Now, the book title is Return to Wake Robin, One Cabin in the Heyday of North Woods Resorts. Tell us about Wake Robin. Where is it, and how did it come to be?
All right. Well, it's up in northern Wisconsin, near Hayward, Wisconsin, and the Spider Chain of Lakes. And it was built in 1929 by my grandparents, Earl and Clara Oatman. And they named it Wake Robin because that is the common name for trillium that carpets the forest, the Northwood Forest, in the springtime. And my grandmother loved wildflowers, so she named her little cabin Wake Robin. And it's just a three-season, very small log cabin with a wonderful fieldstone fireplace and a porch overlooking the lake, and a two-butt kitchen, we like to say. We saw that we can fit, but some wonderful meals and great coffee come out of there. And we have just loved it for 83 years and five generations later.
It's just a wonderful story. And how it came to be and the location of it, I think, is interesting as well, because it relates to a resort, Moody's Resort.
Yes, well, my grandfather, Earl Oatman, and his brother William had a dairy, Oatman Brothers Dairy, in Aurora, Illinois, back in the early 1920s. And sadly, Earl's brother William died unexpectedly. So my grandfather went up to the North Woods to seek solace and took some friends with him and fell in love with the area, stayed at a different resort, actually near Boulder Lodge, Clam Lake area, and but loved it so much the next summer, and he brought up my grandmother Clara and my father David, who was a young boy, and they saw the sign to Moody's Camp. And having come from the Elgin Dundee area, they knew a Ted Moody who had been their mechanic and very popular gregarious Swede, and they wondered if this could be the same Ted that they knew. So they turned down that road, and it changed their lives. And Ted Moody did have a Moody's Camp resort, and it was the same Ted and Myrtle. And my parents grandparents became lifelong friends, as did our whole family. And my grandparents stayed there for several years and loved it so much that in the 1929 decided to build their own little cabin, the first cabin right next door to the resort.
Well, it's a great story. And maybe you could describe Moody's Forest, but before you do that, I want to get our listeners a chance to join in as well. You may have a North Woods cabin in your family's history. Love to hear you share your memories. Maybe you stayed in one of those great camps back in the days, and the heydays, really, I think, probably the end of the 60s, 70s, in there, Marnie?
I would think so. I think that's when you saw a lot of change happening on the lake. And, you know, Disney World opened up and Hawaii became accessible and Caribbean cruises. And so, and many of the resorts, they're still wonderful resorts in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
People to use them. But there used to be close to 13 on our chain of lakes, and with wonderful names like Munahanas and Hans Roost and Muskie Run and Laternos, and all those began to disappear in the late 60s, early 70s and 80s, and turned into condos or sold off. So it has changed. It has changed, but there, like I said, there's still wonderful resorts.
Absolutely.
That can recreate or establish new memories and traditions for families out there.
Talking with Marnie Mamminga today, a writer and columnist. Her family's been enjoying their Northwoods cabin for five generations, and she shares her memories of it and return to Wake Robin, one cabin in the heyday of Northwoods Resorts. You may have an experience or question. I hope you'll join in at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question, or even maybe you got a northern a photograph from your cabin in northern Wisconsin, or a great northern Wisconsin scene. Post that on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And certainly we'd love to hear from you. Just as an aside, my wife Renee and I stayed at in the Moody's, the main cabin, in 1998 after it had been turned into a bed and breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful building.
It is beautiful, and it's been beautifully restored. And the bed and breakfast is such a wonderful idea, and it has such charm and such history, and you can just kind of feel the past surrounding you when you go there. It's a wonderful place to relax and enjoy the simplicity and beauty of the Northwoods.
Describe Moody's Resort for us and talk, you know, the American plan and so forth.
All right. Well, Moody's Camp was really a bit of elegance in a very rustic setting. And although the cabins, 13 cabins, log cabins built by Ted Moody himself and local Ojibwa Hank Smith, a beautiful hand carving by Hank Smith, that's a chinking and little screened-in porches and beautifully set on a rise overlooking the lake, you can see the sunrise or the moon rise or the Milky Way, and so it's a beautiful location. And Ted Moody wanted to make it extra special by offering an American meal plan. So he had his lodge had beautiful log birch bark tables with white tablecloths and wildflowers on them, and every morning guests woke up to a big clanging bell to ring them into breakfast of, you know, local maple syrup and pancakes and local blueberries, and then another bell at noon for a wonderful lunch, and dinner was often the same thing certain nights. So Saturday nights when guests arrived, they were greeted with a prime rib dinner. Sunday was a fabulous Swedish smorgasbord with lutefisk and homemade potato salads and homemade desserts and rice pudding and just a table laden with homemade delicacies. Wednesday was a steak fry outside, followed by a fabulous square dance with the local Jalowitz band. Friday nights were not exactly a fish fry, but lobster and shrimp, if you can imagine, back in those decades, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. And so it was very appealing to families because the mothers and the wives could enjoy their time. They didn't have to cook, and they were treated to every, there were choy boys and choy cabin girls to clean the cabins. And so there was a hint of, even though in the beginning kerosene lamps and outhouses, there was a hint of elegance in this rustic setting that appealed to many families, and not to mention great fishing. So
yeah,
very appealing.
Very appealing. Pete in Wales, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about a resort that my family would go up to. We were up there for many years in a row. I was not involved in the actual running of the resort. I was just a guest. But it's called Blueberry Hill Resort, just outside of Danbury, Wisconsin. And the unique situation that they had was that the first owners made it very, very easy for people from Chicago or Milwaukee to come up, because the railroad would come into town and then they pick them up by buggy and horses and bring them out to the resort. And they kept the owners that would kept that resort for many, many years. But then in the early 60s, they were having financial trouble, and the same families that would come up at the same time, right around 4th of July, got wind of the financial problems and went to the owners and said, we don't want this place to go away. What we propose is a buyout of your resort, and we will make it into a corporation, and each one of the families will buy one of the resort cabins, which took place. And even yet today, and I haven't been up there for quite a few years now, but even yet today, there's the Blueberry Hill Corporation that basically it is the governing body of
the resort. Wow. You're breaking up, unfortunately, Pete, which is too bad. But I think what Pete is showing here is that there's been a lot of closeness. People really take ownership. In this case, they actually took ownership, but financial ownership, but other types of ownership as well, emotional ownership of those resorts.
Well, I think that he hit on a key factor that made the resorts, one of the reasons that made them so appealing is the friendships, and that mentioning that the same group of friends came up every year over the 4th of July, that was so important. You met the same friends, you saw the same guests, the resort owners were like a family to you. We called Ted Moody, Uncle Ted, and Aunt Myrtle. And they were intergenerational as well, the grandparents, the young children, the newlyweds. It was really a gathering place for friendships that people could leave their other self, their city self, or their employee self, or whoever they were back home, and just come and relax and be in the beauty of the natural surroundings and with wonderful friends and family. And that was a great appeal to many, many vacationers.
Marnie Mamminga, our guest today, author of a great book. I really enjoyed reading it. It's called Return to Wake Robin, One Cabin in the Heyday of Northwoods Resorts. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can join in that way with your questions, comments, or even photos. Larry Mueller here, Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay tuned today, because at 11:45 we're going to learn about the Freedom Summer Project of 1964 and the amazing archive collections about it that are at the Wisconsin Historical Society. Don't want to miss that. Sure to be very interesting. Right now, we're reminiscing with author Marnie Mamminga about summers up north. And again, if you have an experience to share or a question, join us at 800-642-1234. Well, there are many incredibly larger-than-life people in the book, but your mother, Woody, really stands out. I love the cover. I love that picture of her. Boy, she's got that little devilish look.
Well, it is a beautiful picture. And my father, David Oatman, took that around 1946 when he came back from World War II from the European theater in the Army. And as many did, they traveled up north to kind of get away and reconnect and find, you know, the peace and joy and fun of the North Woods after the war. And so my mother loved to row those beautiful old sleek wooden rowboats with the squeaking oarlocks as they 3.5 horse motors. So you, it was a leisurely journey around the lakes, and there are beautiful thoroughfares with wild lilies, purple and yellow and white, that that were wonderful to go and see. And my father loved to photograph, and he snapped that picture of my mother, Woody, and just captured her really in all her glory. She has her lipstick on and her camera around her neck, and she her flannel shirt and cap, and she's on an adventure and loving it.
it's a wonderful. She was a really incredible person.
Well, she has that bright red hair and gleam in your in her eyes, as you mentioned, and she was full of vim and vigor. She had an appreciation and an enthusiasm for life. And that was very contagious to her family and friends. And she was a great organizer of adventures on the lake. A picnic on the island was no trouble for her, to get up early in the morning and make a homemade potato salad and gather up some walleye fillets and a cast iron skillet, and have my father would load up our little fishing boat with the wood and the supplies, and we'd get a canoe, and the seven of us would journey down to an island and have contacted friends. We didn't have a phone, so we would have run by to let them know, join us. And she would cook up, Dad would build a fire, and she would cook up walleye fillets and a pound of butter on cast iron skillets. And it's just legendary. Everybody loved it. And then we would load it all up, paddle home, back to the cabin, and no dishwasher, of course, clean it all up. But they were joyful experiences that she loved to organize hikes back into the Eagle Nest Lake and through the Virgin Pines. And she wanted the five of my siblings to swim to the island and back as a goal. And so she was always organizing some activity or fun. And sometimes we didn't always like those activities, but at the end of the day, we're glad we had the challenge and the experience. And she was just a friend magnet, full of joy and energy. And
wow.
That was very contagious, and so appreciative of the beauty that natural beauty that surrounded her.
Well, it's all there in that photo. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Deborah in Milwaukee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Hi, Marnie.
Hi. Good morning.
I'm calling because I have read your book and I enjoyed it completely. I found myself. I note that I am exactly the same age as you, and I grew up in the hot part of Illinois, and I found myself envying that your family's drive north. You describe it so perfectly, getting up early in the morning, putting everybody in the car, driving through hot fields and gradually feeling the temperature cool off, and as you approach the lake, just the exultation that you and your family felt. I would note that your book is really a wonderful coming-of-age story. I was taken with the honesty with which you described the joy of your family, but also some of the hardships that you went through. I thought it was beautifully written, and I thank you, and you have inspired me. My husband and I are going to be staying at Spider Lake Lodge in September as a result of having read your book. I thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for those beautiful
kind words,
and they mean a lot. And I hope that it touched other people's journeys that they've been on with their families.
Yes. Oh. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for calling. And I should, Matt, this might be a good point to mention that starting on Monday, August 5th, on Chapter a Day,
yeah.
Susan Sweeney will be reading this book.
Yes, very exciting. Very exciting.
Oh, it's great.
I'm just thrilled.
Yeah, and so Chapter a Day, Monday, August 5th. Actually, the chapter folks are going to be doing Wisconsin authors right now through November. So it's going to be great. So several authors, and we're going to try and talk with some of those other authors as well. But yours will also be an audio book when it's finished.
Yeah, so we're very excited about that. The Wisconsin Historical Society Press, my wonderful publisher, has been working hard getting that all ready to go. And so it should be coming out about the same time as Chapter Day in August. And we're just thrilled. We're all just over the moon.
It's really great. Well, Dan and Mosini, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
We have a very strong tradition in on my mother's side of the family, we've been going up to been going up north for 50 years now. And my grandma and grandpa started off, and they started in one cabin, and as the family grew, so did the experience, and we've outgrown a few resorts, and every year we pretty much rent out an entire resort. And it's a huge family reunion every year. This year, my grandmother, who is going to turn 100 soon, was still at the lake with us.
Oh, wow. How wonderful.
Oh, that's and you've got more than 50. How many people? 50 plus?
It varies from year to year, but, yep, usually it's more than 50.
Wow.
And we get all the cabins, and so the entire place is ours. And, my kids know their second cousins and uncles and aunts, and just a tradition we're just not going to let go of.
Oh, that's a great story, isn't it, Marnie?
It is, and I think you touched on, again, the connection of family, where that so often we're all spread across the country now, and it's so wonderful to have this gathering place for cousins to be together and uncles to be with their nephews and niece and grandmothers to share time with their grandchildren. At home, we're all so busy and connected to so many other things. So coming together like that really does create the bonds that tie us together and make family all the more special.
Thanks again, Dan, for calling. That's a great story. I love it. I love that idea. You know, the fishing guides, you write about the fishing guides in your book, too, and they were a special...
Yeah.
Bunch, tell us about those fishing guides.
Well, they were just wonderful at Moody's Camp. The three that stuck out in my mind particularly, Eddie Osling and Elmer Brunberg and Tommy Seahunter. And they were men of the water. They were mysterious. They were wonderful fishermen. They were handsome and strong, men of few words, so they had this kind of mystery aura about them. But they were friends and comrades and... Eddie is probably the one that sticks out the most. He was quite kind of a James Dean looking character with a gun in his belt and a knife in his boot, and you kind of command respect when you saunter around the campgrounds like that. And he was also the square dance caller on Wednesday nights, and so he would turn from this very tough and kind of rugged fishing guide to the suave, debonair, square dance crooner, just was very, very appealing. So we thought of the fishing guides, not only were they wonderful guides, but Tommy Seahunter brought in a 53.5-inch muskie out of one of the lakes with one of his clients. They were wonderful guides, but they were also wonderful friends that would do anything for you, whether you were a guest or a local or a neighbor, you know, neighbor cabin down the lane. And so, and they used to really kind of dominate the lake with their presence. Those old sleek boats, you could hear them, trolling in those days with, you know, rowing and the squeaking oarlocks again. And they did that for hours and hours on end in rain and, you know, sun and wind and usually were very successful. So they had a lot of repeat clients and were very, very treasured as friends and as guides.
I know that there were guides that that the same person would come to northern Wisconsin and fish with the same guide every year after year after year.
Yes, I think they just held, you know, a standing date and calendar, and the the repeat business at when the census ran it was 85% maybe 90% repeat business every summer. That's how people were. They were old friends. Sigurd Olson has that quote I use in the book about the guides became your old friends and comrades when you returned each year to go on those fishing adventures. So they held a special place in everyone's heart.
And you know, I was kind of almost startled. My jaw dropped a little bit. You were talking about Eddie, and then you mentioned his baits, Eddie's baits, and I have Eddie's baits in my tackle box.
Oh my God!
And I've caught a muskie on a pretty nice muskie on one of my Eddie baits, as a matter of fact.
They're big honking, you know, baits, and they were huge and a lot of barbs on them, and we were very impressed by them. We didn't really want to mess around with Eddie's bait, and I. Sadly, one of them got, my sister was, Nancy was out in the, fishing with a friend and as teenagers, and the wind blew, someone cast, and the wind blew it back into her, as often happened to many people. It got caught, you know, snagged her head instead of a muskie. So that's about our only success with the Eddie Bay. But I know that, or not a success, but it's our story. And but many people had wonderful success with them, and he was very revered as a fishing guide.
Yeah.
As Tommy and Elmer as well.
Lynn in Ellison Bay, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Great.
I was so interested in your guest comments today about the North Woods. My great uncle built a home up here in Ellison Bay in 1917. And we have our family, which ended up in Ohio, have traveled up here. My oldest daughter is, well, I won't tell you how old she is, but since in utero, my kids have come up here, and it's only been in the last couple of decades that we had indoor plumbing and electricity in this cabin. It'll be 100 years old in 4 years, and as we lay in bed at night, we're still looking at an uninsulated ceiling of the fires going. You know, it's playing off the ceiling, and the contract to write this house was very interesting. The builder said, I will build you a home 30 by 30 with 8 windows and 2 doors. And I think at the cost of maybe $800 back then, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so full of memories for us. And while you were talking about fishing, my first fishing experience up here, my mom was a fisherman, as was her mother. And one day she walked up and down the path to the path here is called Professor's Row, and she invited everybody to a fish fry. We had no fish, which was so self-assured. I was 2 and a half. She put me in the rowboat with her. We went out. We caught 40 perch in 40 minutes, and that was the beginning of my addiction, which to this day... I have my own tiny little boat that's been retrofitted with downriggers and love going out for salmon. And I wanted to ask your guest and you too, have you noticed a change in the fishing from your part of the woods up here? You were talking about the guides. Are they still having as much success as they did back in the day?
Well, I would hope so. I think so. There's some wonderful guides up there now, and I think we have friends who actually, my family, none of us are really big fisher people, so we enjoy the lake in other ways. But we have friends who have great, great success catching muskies and crappies and all manner of fish. So I think it's still going great. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'd love to hear a show kind of dedicated to the fisheries up here, because I know in Green Bay, our fishing has really changed.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be able to go out and get 40 perch in 40 minutes. Today, and for a couple decades, you're lucky to find a perch.
Yeah.
The salmon were introduced 36, 37 years ago, and they, you know, were put in to take care of the alewife population.
Yeah.
Talking to a fisherman right now, right? Have you ever fished for salmon?
Oh, yeah, many times. Got some pretty nice salmon, too.
Yeah, well, I usually am able to do very well, but the last 3 years have been really tough up here. The big tournament is going on this week, and, you know, we've got lots of fishermen up here, but not lots of fish.
Oh.
And I love to have somebody try to figure that out. I know the DNR isn't stocking any longer.
Lynn, I thank you for calling and bringing that up. And we can take a look at the Lake Michigan or the Great Lakes fishery. I think would make a very good show. We actually have done that show, but it's been a long time back. Judith's already making a note of it. And we'll, I promise you, we'll do something on Lake Michigan fishery.
I can give her some good names of guides up here that you might want to interview.
Okay. Well, if you want to shoot her an email, that would be great. You can do it, post it on our Facebook page.
Say that name in the Facebook again.
Oh, if you go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, you can just post right there.
Okay.
To Judith.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Lynn, for calling. Appreciate your call. And Betsy and Madison emailed about the Shady Shore Resort. It's about half a dozen cabins right on Long Lake near Three Lakes. Not a lot of amenities, but it's secluded and peaceful. Beautiful lake and woods. We would lay in a clearing at night and watch the meteor showers, so amazed at all the stars we couldn't see back home. And you write about that as well, Marnie.
Yes, I think the night skies are one of the things that we love so much. You know, coming from around the Chicago area, to head up north and to see those clear skies and the Milky Way and the shooting stars and the moonrise, the constellations, Cassiopeia. We all grew up staying up late to see those and introducing our children to them. And my sister, when she comes from Virginia, she'll stay down at the dock for hours, wee hours of the night, and just, you know, gaze at the heavens, the stars, and they really are, it's just magnificent. And I love that my son with his little daughters that are 4 and 6, my little granddaughters, Lily and Joy, he got them up one night to go down to see, so that they could see the stars as well. So it's a tradition that continues, and it's one of the beauties that draw us back and that we love so much.
Marnie Memming, our guest today, author of Return to Wake Robin, One Cabin in the Heyday of Northwoods Resorts. A wonderful read. Great to have her with us today. Dave in Augusta. Hi, Dave.
Well, hello, Larry. I really love this topic about the Northwoods. I still fish the Northwoods as much as I can, and I still use the old fishing lures you were talking about earlier, the Eddie Bait, Bobby Bait, Bonnet, which was made right here in Eau Claire. It's a 6-hook surface lure. I caught a muskie on a Bonnet a while ago, and a guy came up to me. He says, "What did you catch that muskie on? It wasn't very big." And I says, "A Bonnet." And I showed it to him. He says, "I've never seen that before." And I said, "Well, no, you probably haven't. They're made in the 50s and 60s, and they were quite this musky killer back in the day." But, you know, I really, a lot of people race up the Northwoods and they go out fishing and stuff. They've got to slow down a little bit, Larry. They got to spend some time outdoors at night, like you folks were talking about, looking at the stars and smelling the pine air and listening to the loons. An old fishing guy told me one time, Larry, it's not about how many fish you catch or how big the fish are. It's what you see when you're on the water.
Yeah.
Proud of it. Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. He's exactly right. And as I was thinking about back in the day, I can remember when my, you know, this is many years back, my brother got a 20-horse motor. And it was like, oh, man, that's a big motor compared to...
It was huge. We grew up, well, 3.5s were still around when I was young, very young. And then we had a 7.5 Evinrude, which was just really, you know, the bee's knees. And then it was later in the 60s at like a 35, and you could start to water ski. And then, you know, they started to get bigger, and the sounds of the lake started to change because the bigger motors and the jet skis and so forth. So where once there had been more quiet and more you could hear the loons call, now there's the bigger motor sound. So those small motors were not always reliable, but they were appealing in many ways.
Yeah. You were lucky in that your birthday was usually spent at the lake.
Oh, I am so lucky. I'm not sure my family. They think that there's a lot that goes on around my birthday in August, and so it's always been a wonderful time to celebrate. I just love being up there and being in, you know, on the lake and being around my family and my Wisconsin friends . It was always a cause for my mother. Woody loved to give a party, so my birthday was it. And so we had a lot of dock parties, and you know, the kids from that were up that we knew on the lake would come over, and we'd have watermelon seed spinning contests and cannonball, you know, competitions and cake on the dock, and it was just all great fun. I got a lot of fishing lures for for birthday presents. So Moody's Camp shop there was the closest place to buy a gift, so I could have been a guide myself with all those lures.
Victoria in Hayward, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. I am the fourth generation running Ross's Teal Lake Launch up in Hayward. I'm a daughter of Tim and Prue, which I know you've spoken to many times. And yeah. I'm just going to contribute a little bit about the guides that we were talking about. We had, actually, the Historical Society is doing a piece on a bunch of the old resorts, especially those who are of us who are still running and within the same families. And they were up talking with some guests that I had up here end of June who've been coming since 1947.
Oh.
And it was neat. It was really neat to talk to them. We were talking about how we used to have the old guide shack, that I used to have 9 guides who had full-time work fishing out of here. And we talked about the chamber pots that used to be in the cabins and going to the bathhouse, because back then we didn't have full bathrooms in all of the cabins. So they would have to sign up for, you know, which day and which hour they were going to come use the bathhouse. And it was neat stuff like that, talking to them about their memories of the early times of Ross's. And, you know, we now have bathrooms in there. And she was like, I don't know if I remember if there were chamber pods or not. Very funny. But the fishing guides were neat. They had the old guide shack, and we'd be fishing out of there. And I have to tell you, they haven't changed much. I just sat and talked to a guide yesterday in the front yard talking about fishing, and they're a man of more words now than they were. I think they have, they're required to talk a lot more on the boat than they used to be.
Well, Victoria, Ross's Teal Lake Lodge is a wonderful lodge.
Mm-hmm, it is. We love that lodge, yeah.
Yeah, been there many, mm-hmm. Actually been there many, many times, and thank you very much for calling and talking with us. We're out of time, unfortunately.
Oh, gosh, that went so fast.
I know. It goes really fast, doesn't it, Marnie?
It does. It does. One thing that I knew from my research is that from a University of Wisconsin pamphlet is that on average in 1949 it took 5,000 casts to catch a muskie. So
yeah.
I hope that's changed.
Oh, it's much less than that now.
Good.
It's been great, Marnie. And thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much. It's just been a delight, and I enjoyed so much talking with you and all your listeners as well.
Marnie Mamminga is the author of Return to Wake Robin, One Cabin in the Heyday of Northwoods Resorts. And just as a reminder, starting on Monday, August 5th, Susan Sweeney reads it and will be, it's going to be an audiobook as well, but Susan Sweeney will be reading it on Chapter a Day. And you know what? I think Susan Sweeney is probably the perfect choice to read this book. And I'm looking forward to hearing, you're never going to hear all of it because on there. I've read the book, but it'll be fun to hear someone else read it to me as well. Well, June of 1964 was the start of the Freedom Summer Project. What's that project? We'll find out about it with our guest Michael Edmonds coming up next year on the Ideas Network.